Hello and welcome to episode 383 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. How many licks does it take to get to the center of Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop? One, two, three. Three.
You sound like a cat.
I am your host, Clarence Moy, and I am joined by the other two M's, a smaller group this week, but nonetheless, still lively. M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, we'll start with you.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin, and you can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
Excellent. Joey?
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm feeling wacky tonight. So God knows what's going to happen. Come out of my mouth this podcast.
Ba, 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 da, ba.
But at least we all know that we're better than Beanie Feldstein. Let's all light a candle for Beanie.
I know.
We haven't talked about that recently.
No, we haven't. That whole story is kind of upsetting.
Is there another story?
Oh, there was like did you see was it Gawker or Jezebel that did or the Daily Beast? One of them did an article about how it all went down and how she didn't really know.
I opened the tab and then I didn't read it.
It just seems like it was mishandled from the beginning.
Yeah, and it sounds like, of course, I don't have any personal involvement in this. This is all entirely speculation, but it sounds like her handlers or her agent or publicist went in there and they knew she was upset and they instructed people not to talk to her, which made it even weirder.
Yes.
I don't think Beanie Feldstein would. She doesn't strike me as the kind of person that would pull a diva move like that.
No, I don't think she would either. Yeah, the whole thing just sounds like a lot of hurt feelings, and understandably so. And what a mess. The whole thing's a mess.
And honestly,
go ahead. No, all I was going to say is I mentioned before that, Julie Belko, who is her understudy, I felt like.
I thought it was Banco. Is it Julie Belko?
Is it Banco? Julie, let's say Julie. Julie, anytime that she was going on as Fanny Bryce, they were like, here she is, she's going on. Oh, and also Beanie Feldstein's in the role too. That's what it felt like.
Well, I kind of blame the producers for this whole mess because, again, there was an article in Daily Beast, so if this article has any truth to it, one of the things that they said was they knew very early on that this wasn't working. And I haven't seen the show. I suspect the problems with the show are much larger than just Beanie Feldstein. But they knew that she didn't have the vocal chops to hit that Streisand range, right? So they should have very early on saved everybody a whole lot of grief. And it would have been embarrassing, but it would have been less embarrassing than it is right now. And said, you know what, it's not working out, and replaced her with somebody else, whether it's Lea Michele or whatever. But they should have done it before it became an event. Now I feel like it's going to scar this poor girl.
Well, also, she's supposed to be in Linklater's 20-year Marylever roll-along, which is a musical.
I love that. I mean, well, here's the thing. With the movie musical, though, they can – even if she isn't as, great on screen, they can mess with the mixing of that to make
it
sound better.
But still, the next 20 years, people are going to be speculating, is she going to be any good?
Yeah.
Well, also,
but she can sing. She just, no one said she couldn't sing.
Yeah.
She just couldn't sing a role that was made iconic by Barbra Streisand.
Yeah.
Well, it's the thing that I think is so, kind of not crazy about it, but I think it's sort of so the Daily Beast article is up. I just pulled it up again. And the guy who pulled the expose of everything and wrote the exclusive, you scroll down a couple inches down from the headline. And then you see the same writer wrote a review, I think, of the show. And it's a bad review. It's Broadway's Fighting Girl revival rains on its own parade.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I just think you're going to be look at this exclusive and how horribly they treated the poor girl. And also, I read this review where we're talking about how it was in that.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that's really annoyed me, and I know people have issues with Lea Michele, I'm no huge fan, but like all of a sudden they're making her the villain. Like so many people on Twitter are making her the villain of this whole thing. And, you know, like 3 months ago, they were all making fun of Beanie Feldstein for these bad reviews and how she couldn't sing. And you know, even we were talking about these horrible pictures, so these press release pictures they put out of her. So everybody was making fun of her. And then all of a sudden now that Lea Michele's in, then Lea Michele is like the devil coming in to stomp on the delicate flower that is Beanie Feldstein. And she just took a job. Like, I don't think that she all about Eve'd her way into this.
I saw that someone said, I literally was, when I, as soon as you brought it up, I went on Twitter and I searched the Daily Beast Beanie. And then someone said that there's a rumor that the day that the bad reviews came out, Lea Michele was calling the producers.
I also have seen a lot of tweets, though, about how this is going to be so much better and everybody's so happy, too.
Yeah. Which until
Yeah.
Yeah, until they come out and the reviews, if they re-review it, they're going to come out and say, yes, she sings it better, but the show still has problems.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just her. It's not that Beanie Feldstein is the only thing that got bad reviews. The whole production got bad reviews. It's not like the whole show got 5,000 Tony Award nominations and she was mysteriously snubbed. It got one Tony Award nomination.
Right.
The whole production was not well liked.
Anyway, everybody's moving on, should move on to the new revival of Into the Woods.
I'm so excited to doing a recording of it. Ah!
I know. So
why should we move on to that? Just wondering.
Because it's supposed to be brilliant.
Okay, who's in it?
Sarah Bareilles and
Yes, I did hear she's got really good reviews.
Yeah, Patina and Miller. Who else is in it?
Patina Miller's in it. Gavin Creel is in it. Brian D'Arcy James, Joshua
You're saying
Henry.
These names like I should know them.
You should know them.
Cheyenne Jackson is stepping into the Baker's role. Is it? Oh no, the Prince's role.
No, he's the Prince.
Yeah, that's an excellent casting for the Prince.
Yeah.
Anyway. This has been Theater Talk by Zoe Megan Clarence. Can you believe Megan participated in Theater Talk?
I was going to say, I knew one person.
Against her will.
Yeah.
All right. So this week we have two major events to unveil. First off, our yearly Best of TV, in this case, Best of 2022 TV, at the halfway mark. We do this every year. It's a little bit later than we normally do it, but we're doing it right now. We're going to reveal the five shows that we think are the best in 2022 television so far. And then we're doing something that we've never done before. We're going to unveil the 2022 Cooler Award nominations right here on this podcast so that listeners of our podcast can find out who got nominated before readers of awardsdaily.com will. Woohoo! And we'll close things, as always, with a flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start with the best of 2022 television. And again, I believe that we have all done the same thing. We have five shows and we probably have a handful of other things that would be in a top 10 list, but aren't in our top five. That's kind of lingering around, I assume. Yeah. So with that, Megan, why don't you go first with some of your honorable mention titles?
So some of the ones that I have as an honorable mention are The Bear, because I haven't finished it yet, but I've really enjoyed it. I have The Thing About Pam. I have Real World Homecoming Nola, and I have like Mrs. Maisel, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is one of my honorable mentions that could end up in my top 10 list. We're only listing five.
Right. Joey, what about you? I'm sure you have some honorable mentions.
Yeah, I also have The Real World Homecoming. Not because I necessarily think it's good, but I was just like drawn to it. The reboot of Queer as Folk, which I'm a little conflicted on, but I haven't finished it either. I have two episodes left. I sort of want to say this. I haven't watched this, but I feel like it's in I hear a lot of it from my husband. I was like, should I put the January 6th hearings on my list? Should I do it? Just because it is a very big cultural moment. So I was just like, not on my list, haven't watched it, but sort of just adjacent to it when I say honorable mention, because I usually ask my husband what happened, because if I watched it myself, I would probably spontaneously combust.
That's my mom's favorite show.
Oh, wow. One season, a limited series, one and done.
Yes.
You know, looking at it strictly, like taking all politics out of it and looking at it as television, and it's not supposed to be entertaining. It's informational, right? But every time, I don't watch it because I don't want to hear. Yeah, I don't want to hear any more of it. But the way that they present it, the way that they're presenting this case, every time I happen to catch it, they're always talking about how Donald Trump spawned this group and basically drove them into the Capitol to have all this. It's like that's the only thing they talk about. And I've caught this like, what, it's been on 4 or 5 times. And that is literally the only thing they're talking about. And I'm like, is that really the whole case? Because that we already know, right? Do you really keep having to prove that same single point over and over and over and over and over again? I don't know that I should have an opinion on it because I haven't watched it, but it just seems very repetitive.
I think their repetitiveness is on purpose.
Yeah. I think they have to be to hammer it home, to go back to the main statement, like, because I mean, if we're dealing with idiots, which I think the government is filled with them, then that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, this is not a political podcast and I am woefully unprepared to discuss this. So I will end it with that. Some of my honorable mention titles are The Boys, which I just finished. Not as good as season 3 is not as good as season 2, but it's still entertaining ish, I guess, if you like that sort of thing. Two Disney Plus shows, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Moon Knight. I'm not really sure that there's any specific order with that, but I liked both of them. Russian Doll, which is a show that we didn't really talk about this last week. I was really kind of surprised that was like the darling of the Emmys in season 1, and then like basically nothing happened with it in season 2.
Wait, for which one?
Russian Doll.
Yeah, that's really wild. Nomination. Yeah.
I guess people just didn't, they weren't talking about it.
I think there might have been too much of a gap between, and also because I think the first one just worked so well on its own. Like, personally, I think, because I didn't really have as somebody who was a fan of the first one, I don't remember anything about it, and I liked it, but I remember thinking that I don't need to see any more of this, because but also it sounds like it goes past what its initial concept was, so maybe people didn't pay attention either.
Yeah, I think people just didn't. I think it's a victim of COVID, right? It's just too much time had passed. And I think they understood that would happen. And so they did not make it a direct, like a purposeful continuation. I mean, it is a continuation, but it's not regurgitating the same sort of plot devices. It's its own thing. I guess people just didn't care. They just fell out of love with the characters, which is sad, but because I think this is a really good season.
Yeah, that's too bad.
And then probably tops on my honorable mention list, clinging to a 5.5 position, would be Apple TV Severance, a show that I have finished and thought that the finale was brilliant, and I wish it had gotten to it faster. But, we've talked about that before, but it is still a really good TV show.
I mean, if you want, Megan and I can fight again.
No,
we could, but okay. I'm going to shut up for now.
No, and we did get a someone tweeted. I don't remember who it was. It might have been Rick. I don't know. Someone did tweet that they were living for a Megan and Joey blowout. So good job, guys. You entertained.
Yeah.
All right. So with that, we're going to hop into our top 5 list. So let's do what we always do and just do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 in a roundtable format. Megan, we'll start with you with number 5.
Okay, I have my number 5 as We Need to Talk About Cosby. I think that it was a documentary that I was kind of like reluctant to watch at first, only because I feel like it's a topic that feels like we know a lot about it, but then I realized we like this, it's so thorough. David Kamau-Bell, really just handles the whole thing really beautifully. And, I feel like if more icky conversations like this were handled like this, the world would be a better place, because it talks about like, you know, doubting women and doubting the Cosby survivors at first, and just like feeling, you know, complicit and like all these things. It's just really, it's just such a great work. And, that's my number five.
Excellent. Joey?
I'm going to warn people that this list is really gay. Well, what else? My number five, I know, right? Just dripping with faggotry. My number five slot is just short and sweet. RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star Season 7, all winners, Jinx Monsoon. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, that's a good one.
Thank you.
It's really gay. All right.
Concise faggotry. There you go.
That is another excellent title for your autobiography. Number five is HBO Max's Julia. It's kind of a very warm hug of a show, one that isn't. It is well made. It is not brilliantly made. It's not daring. It's doing a very tried and true format, but the performances all work really well. It's not setting the world on fire, but it's just done very, very well with its cast, its performances, its crafts. It deserved some more love than it got from the Emmys, and I'm looking forward to season two. But number five, HBO Max's Julia. Megan, number four.
I have my number four as Severance. I started seeing people talk about this, because at first I wasn't quite sure what it was about when I saw like ads for it. And then I finally checked it out, and I think it's very well done. I like the way it's paced. I think that it didn't bother me, I guess, because I feel like I also really like these characters. Like, is it Rickon or whatever that character's really his brother-in-law really cracks me up. I really love his Adam Scott's sister on the show too. Jen, I think it's Jen Kirkman. Is that who plays? She's really good. I just liked the world feels like now, but just slightly in the future. And I just found it fascinating and how like it almost feels like it reminds me a bit of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind type of show.
Yes.
And I really dig that. And I look forward to seeing what they do with season two, but I also am kind of in the boat with Joey where it's like, how can they top this? Where can they go from here? But, you know, we've all been proven wrong by that before. So, yeah, Severance.
Excellent. Joey, you're number four.
My number four is Apple TV's Loot.
Ooh.
Starring Maya Rudolph and Michaela J. Rodriguez and Joel Kim Booster. I just think Maya Rudolph hasn't really had a lead performance like this before, and I think that's criminal. I think the chemistry between Maya Rudolph and Michaela J. Rodriguez is genuinely inspiring. Where Michaela J. plays sort of like the straight man to her, to Maya Rudolph's crazy antics, and seeing Michaela J. have a completely straight face while Maya Rudolph is going off the deep end is wonderful. I think it's a great first season so far. I think it's very, very promising, and I think it's only going to keep getting better with the next season.
I am six or seven, not that you asked, but I'm about six or seven episodes into it, and it definitely has gotten, it's one of those shows that definitely worms its way into your soul. It gets much better as it goes along. And, once the characters kind of give them a chance to breathe, I definitely liked it as a show. I think that there are moments like the Hot Wings skit or the Hot Wings bit where I think it could be funnier. But, you know, it's because we can talk about this offline, but it's a good show. So, yeah. My number four is FX's Under the Banner of Heaven, a very strong True Con limited series that explores a lot of different things, and it, you know, I just really admire it for its scope and for what it tries to do. I don't know if it's 100% successful at everything it sets out to do, but it really, the ambition of this project is just staggering. So, and the acting is uniformly very strong across the board, led by Andrew Garfield and Daisy Edgar Jones and Wyatt Russell and Sam Worthington. Again, this was another one of those shows where I think it shouldn't have come out so late. The Emmys Television Academy just didn't have a chance to watch it because it's not something you can just sit down and really just plop in and enjoy because it's so much fun. You know, a infant gets murdered in the first minute of the show. So that's, yeah, it's tough to watch, but it's a good show. It's a very good show. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Anyway, Megan, number three.
I have my number three is Girls 5 Eva, season two, which I'm really sad that it didn't get any nominations, especially, or didn't get any music, especially for the music. I mean, I listen to Big Pussy Energy all the time. The soundtrack of this season is really great. Like it's just good on its own. Like, to be honest, and Renee Elise Goldsberry should be up for all the awards in my opinion, because she's so good. But I want everybody to go watch this show, and maybe it'll pull some sort of weird Schitt's Creek, and if it has a season three and gets a bunch of nominations, because Paula Pell fights like a property brother, and I know that's like it's I know that we had an embargo on it, but the embargo has lifted, and I'm revealing it now. Go watch it, Paula Pell fighting a property brother, because they're on a label that's run by the property brothers, that I think is hysterical. it's so funny. And I love that show. So that's what I picked, number three.
Excellent. Joey, number three.
Oh, shit. I didn't put these in order. I just have them listed here, so I should probably figure that out. I think my number three is The Bear. I just appreciate the energy that show has. And because I feel like something that kind of it annoys me a little bit, like sometimes film Twitter will pick up on one show, and I think The Bear and Severance are both shows that film Twitter picks up on, and it's the only show they watch. Because I did see someone, she was like, the energy's just like Uncut Gems, and I was like, stop it right now. I don't know. I think it gives like a really realistic view into the service industry. I've never been like a waiter or a chef because I never thought that I would have the patience or wherewithal to do it, and the show just proves that. I can never remember the guy's name. Jeremy Allen White, I think, is so dreamy. I've thought he's dreamy for years. Never watched Shameless, but I think he's dreamy in this because he looks like that and he can cook me food. Thank you very much. I don't know. It's just, I just like what the perspective that show is giving. So that's all.
I do think part of the reason why I'm attracted to him too is because he's making food. And
yeah, it's hot when someone can make you food. It's like, oh, hi.
And he's such a, like, he actually does a really, like, I don't know. I have to finish The Bear. That's why I didn't put it in my top five. But he's doing a lot of acting without saying much, which I think is really interesting too. It reminds me a bit of that movie with Bradley Cooper, Burnt, which I actually really enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
About just like the industry and the pressure and everything. And mm-hmm. We need more Joel McHale though in The Bear. Does he show up more?
I'm not gonna ruin it for you.
Okay, because it's got my other hottie in there. So. Anyway,
my number three is HBO Max's Hacks, a show that I'm actually surprised that ended up this high on the list, considering I really kind of had a lukewarm reaction to it. I rewatched it, and it is a very, very strong season. So I will put that out there. I don't really need to say anything else about it. Hacks. Megan, take a number two.
Number two, I have Abbott Elementary. I've been rooting for this show Ever since people kept talking about it and I started watching it, and I'm like, it lives up to the hype. I think it's so delightful. And I laugh out loud at things. It's the characters are really lovable. It feels realistic. It doesn't feel like a show that's, that's the thing I think that was always the problem with so many shows about teachers, is they didn't know what to do with them and they didn't know how to make it like, realistic, but fun. Like they would try to do like Friends, but they're teachers, you know? And this is just like about the, do you remember like all those shows for a while that were like, we're teachers. And I think this, just having it take place at the school and the whole premise is really cute. And, it kind of reminds me of The Office in the beginning, like when it was good. I just think it's such a delightful show, and I encourage everyone to watch it.
It's Friends, but they're real estate agents.
Yeah. I mean, for a while, there was like Boston Public was a show about teachers that then made it about like, you know, like it's an after school special type of thing. I like that this show doesn't take that as the, it's not like we need to help these kids. It's like, we're just surviving like everybody else.
I think somebody said this last week, and I fully agree with it, that it is a show that, and maybe it was you, Megan, if it was, I will give you credit, but whoever said it, it's a show that where the documentary style filmmaking actually really makes sense.
It was me who said that. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. You're 100% spot on that, because nobody will say like Modern Family, it never made any sense that was a documentary. Who was making a documentary about the people?
Right.
Right. I mean, whatever. But, I have seen a couple of episodes and I really love them. I just didn't include them on this list because I haven't seen the whole season yet. And then I'm going to, and I haven't seen The Bear yet. So,
and Parks and Recreation is another one where I was like, who are you talking to? They don't even address it. I think it's funny how Clarence, you and I were huge Parks and Rec fans, but I feel like we've cooled on it. Like, whereas my parents are the biggest Parks and Rec fans, like, which I think is really funny. And they didn't watch it when it was on.
No, I haven't cooled on it. It's just, it doesn't really come up in the conversation much, you know, in any conversation that much. I mean, I still love it. It's a little hard for me to watch it because Chris Pratt has just become so overexposed that it's no longer like, it doesn't have the same enjoyment there.
That might be true too. And like so many of them have all gone on to be huge too.
Yeah.
Like, that it doesn't have that like, they're relatable because they're like, they're actors that you know, but you don't know their names type of, that's how most of them started out. But I still appreciate that show, but it's not something that I want to revisit, and it's not speaking to the quality of it. It's just not something that like, I guess when I sit down and want to watch an old NBC show, it's always like, well, 30 Rock. It's like, I want to see, see the messiness of like,
I mean, if this is a good indication, I would love to see what Janelle James's version of Jurassic World Dominion is, because if this is the direction she's going in, good God. I love Abbott Elementary too. I'll just say, I didn't know, since the show technically debuted in December, and the majority of the season was in this year, I didn't put it on mine, but that if I would put it, it would be like at the top of my list because I'm in love with that show. So,
I wasn't sure either.
I was going to ask.
Concluded
its
season.
It's like, oh, it's good.
Well, like, I think it had maybe one or two episodes in December.
Yeah.
And most of the rest of it was in. So, okay. Hopefully that's okay.
Yeah. I think you're good to count it as part of this.
Yeah, okay. You're right.
Joey, number two.
I think right now my number two is Pachinko. I haven't stopped thinking of a lot of the imagery of the show. I think it's really beautifully handled. I think it's horrible that that didn't get one Emmy nomination, a good Emmy nomination for main title design, but not enough in my opinion. I think the crafts of the show are completely top notch. I think it's a very emotional show. I just wish more people in the Television Academy voted for it. I just think it's so beautiful and literary, and there's a lot of historical context in there that I was excited to find out after I watched the show. So it's great.
Pachinko. Excellent. My number two probably should be my number one because I've seen it three times, but, but I just didn't, I didn't put it up there. I don't know why, but it is HBO's The Gilded Age.
Yeah. Oh my God. I forgot about The Gilded Age. Oh my God. Who am I?
Seriously.
God, Joey, I thought that was going to be number one. Yeah.
Sorry.
You know, look, I know it's not a perfect show. I know it's not the most critically acclaimed thing, but it is a show that I just have this personal connection with that era, you know, because my favorite movie is The Age of Innocence. I don't know. I just love the shit out of that show. I could watch it a fourth time and would never tire of it. Weirdly enough, I can't explain it, but there it is. That's what it is. Okay, so now I'm super interested to find out what Joey put as his number one. But Megan, you first.
I picked The Dropout as my number one. And I know that, like, this is a show that you two are not as, like, you don't like it as much.
I
guess I just really, as somebody who loves true crime, I love that this gets behind a true crime that that it's not necessarily somebody being murdered.
You don't love that?
No, I like that someone is not murdered. It inspires death. But, like, it's a different kind of true crime is what I'm trying to say. And that it's getting into a sociopath's mindset. I think Elizabeth Holmes is fascinating. And the fact that, and I think one of the things that has been so fascinating about her is that we don't know anything about her. And so for this show to pull back the curtain, I think that makes me really interested in it. Also, I think that, like, it's funny. Like, it's a show that's funny at times, like when it shouldn't be. Like, she's a funny character in a way that is not like, it's such a fine line. I think Amanda Seyfried walks where you could easily make this goofy and she doesn't. But she makes it goofy at times, but not so much that you're, like, not taking her seriously. I just think it's a really interesting show, and just I would watch it again in a heartbeat. I am that into it, and loved talking to Michael Showalter about it, and Liz Merriweather about it too. So excellent. Yeah, The Dropout.
Emmy nominees,
Liz
Merriweather and Michael Showalter. Joey. What is your number one show?
I will say that I'm going to shift everything that I just said going up to number two, and I'm putting The Gilded Age at number two, and everything shifted down. Sorry, RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, this this should not be a surprise to anybody, and everyone's probably going to roll their eyes, but I think my number one show so far is Mrs. Maisel.
Yes.
Just because I was not expecting for the dramatic heft that they all position a lot of the characters in. And because, especially with Lenny Bruce, Midge, Alex Borstein, which I still think she has a shot of getting that Emmy if they play that eulogy clip. She's brilliant in that. I don't know. I was really taken aback by some of the dramatic stuff, the stuff that Tony Shalhoub gets to do because he thinks Kevin Pollak's character is going to die. And there's a threat of death throughout the fourth season of Mrs. Maisel that I was not expecting. And I think that I would probably as far right now to say is it's maybe the most dramatic, the best dramatic comedy season that of the year so far. I don't know. It's just so, I think it really earns those really emotional moments, and I feel like it is perfectly positioning you for a final season. So I don't know.
I think that's a great pick because I think it's a really, I don't think there's a bad season of Maisel, to be honest, but I think I often think of the moment where after Lenny Bruce like kind of yells at her, and they play that song Cuckoo. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
And I went to Spotify immediately. I'm like, I need to know what this, like, I love everything about the show, that it's like the song choices, how quirky it is, how it's not conventional. I think that's a great pick.
Thanks. I think yours is a great pick.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
So, Yes. So
he's going to pick Stranger Things. I know it.
God.
You would have Megan, how did you know? No, it is not on my list. 1.5. I have a 1.5, and it's a left field choice, and it is Drew Barrymore's Instagram feed.
Oh, yay.
Which I love her Rain TikTok. I think that's beautiful.
She's given me two of the best videos I've ever seen. One is which she cries for like 10 minutes because she found a window in a wall. Did you guys see that?
No, I didn't see that.
She cries so hard because she found a window. She's like, I knew it was right. I knew there was a window there. I'm like, what? And it's just... you're equal parts mystified and horrified, but also kind of like intrigued by the fact that this girl is just crying so much over this window.
Well,
and the rain video where she has inspired millions of people to run out into the rain. When it rains, no matter what you do, don't pass the opportunity.
I saw somebody say online that they said you can tell that she's somebody who embraces life because she probably didn't think she'd live long given her drug addiction past. And I thought that was a really beautiful thing to say. Like, you can see it on her face and the way she carries herself. And I love that video. I thought that was great and it was very, really inspiring.
I find myself like watching her put on makeup. Like, I don't give a shit about makeup, and I will watch her put on makeup for 3 minutes and I just be completely fascinated.
That's anyway. Funny.
I love that. You brought that up. That's great.
1.5 Drew Barrymore's Instagram feed. If you don't follow her on Instagram, what are you doing with your life? My number one is Barry, HBO's Barry.
I should have
fantastic show. I love the show, and I'm even, you know, in rewatching some things because I'm interviewing the cinematographer next week and rewatching, I'm just horrified that Sarah Goldberg did not get nominated for this season.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Because I'm almost finishing season one, and I
wait.
I really
you're
like
watching
it.
Barry, and you didn't call me. You have to call me when you go off cheese.
I talked about this like the last podcast.
I don't remember you saying this.
He did.
I don't remember. I mean, it's really easy to watch, and there's only 8 episodes. You can catch it real fast. If you do that, I will wait for you to start season two.
Okay.
You're like no.
I got a lot.
Season one is its weakest season.
Oh God, really?
And that's the one that I tried to watch. So,
yeah.
I have a question. Do you think this is only because I haven't seen anything from season three? But the only thing that I've seen is pictures of Sarah Goldberg in season three. Do you think some people said her performance is more dramatic than comedic?
No, between her and Anthony Carrigan, they're the only truly comic performances in this show. Like she has. Okay. She has a much broader comedic arc in it's an amazing episode where she sells a show to Netflix and then she goes on press junkets. And let me tell you, when I say I laughed when she goes on these press junkets and this like E-type reporter comes over there and she's like, so you wrote a show about your personal trauma? Yes, I did. Great. Who do you think should be the next Spider-Man? I pissed myself laughing so hard.
That's funny.
That's funny.
It is so dead on, and she is so great in it. And yeah, she gets very dramatic toward the end. I just think people don't like her character because her character is a bit of a shrew, honestly, which is unfortunate because you should separate the actor and the performance from the character. Anyway,
I do wonder, too, if like thinking about the since so many of these categories are dominated by like two shows, like I wonder if that just hurts some of these shows like – like when Ted Lasso just takes up a lot and Hacks takes up a lot, it's just some other shows just get pushed behind, unfortunately.
Could very well be. Who knows? But it's a shame because she totally deserved it. But the show has been doing well, of course, and it is a very great show. So I do recommend Barry Season 3.
I will say there's something about that you mentioned sort of casually about like the gun violence that there was one episode, I think it was like episode 6 or 5 of the first season where I didn't even think of you saying it, but I did think it was like, I had to pause and get up because I was watching like 3 or 4 episodes at a time. And I was just like, okay, this is enough guns for a while. And then when I was in my kitchen, I realized I was like, oh, Clarence is right. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and it doesn't get better.
Great.
Also, I realized what I just said was that in that category, there's only one Hacks actress. I was thinking of the guest category because the guest category for actors is like all Hacks.
Yeah, but yeah. Ted Lasso for sure. And yeah.
Abbott Elementary.
Abbott Elementary had two. Yeah. Who else had two? Well, there's the standard Kate McKinnon.
Yeah.
I guess those were the only two.
Yeah.
But no, Ted Lasso had three.
Ted Lasso had three, yeah.
Yeah, Sarah Niles took that slot, I bet.
Yeah.
But I can't fault her for that because Sarah Niles gives probably one of the best performances in that show. So
yes, I agree.
All right. So that is our list of 2022 TV, the best of at the halfway mark. And of course, we'll pick this back up at the end of the year when we list our favorite television of the 2022 year.
Yeah.
So with that, we're going to move on and announce the 2022 Cooler Awards. I wish I had some sort of fancy drum sound to announce it, but here we go. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to start with the limited series categories, and we will start with Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Limited or Anthology Series. And Megan, would you mind reading us the list of nominees in that category?
Okay, so we're starting from the bottom. Okay, so we have Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Limited Anthology Series, Connie Britton for The White Lotus, Jennifer Coolidge for The White Lotus, Alexandra Daddario for The White Lotus, Caitlin Dever for Dopesick, Daisy Edgar-Jones for Under the Banner of Heaven, Natasha Rothwell for The White Lotus, and Samantha Sloyan for Midnight Mass.
Fuck yeah.
Excellent. And I should have introduced these a little bit more, so forgive me. I just thought about that while you were mentioning, while you were reading that list out. These were obviously voted on by the staff and by readers at awardsdaily.com/ADTV. And I must say that this year we have gotten a record number of contributions and votes.
Oh, really?
Yes, which is great. And we had a lot of people write in things. And I actually felt really bad about restricting. My original goal was to put all of the nominees or the all available nominees that are listed in those TV ballots. But the software that I use limits to 150. So I could not do that. So I ended up kind of at the last minute, just kind of throwing names in there. But so many people wrote in things. And you know, when a performance got a large number of write-ins, I did take that into consideration that there is such a passionate expression and passionate vote there that people actually, you know, people who are disconnected, who are in different parts of the world, because I can see the IP addresses. I can't see the names, but I can see the IP address, disconnected different parts of the world, and they still wrote these names in. So we included those. And there was a slight change from the way that we normally do it this year. What I usually do is just look for explicit ties, but there were so many titles that were achingly close to being included. So I just went within 1%. So that's why we have more than six nominees in most of these categories, because there were a lot of passion votes here. So nice. I just wanted to explain that out to the audience. And Joey, take us down supporting actor in a limited series, please.
Sure. This is very similar to my own personal ballot, I will say. Naveen Andrews, The Dropout, Murray Bartlett, The White Lotus, Jake Lacy, The White Lotus, Nick Robinson, Maid, Wyatt Russell, Under the Banner of Heaven, Michael Stuhlbarg, Dopesick, Steve Zahn, The White Lotus.
Excellent. Thank you. Outstanding Lead Actress in a Limited or Anthology Series. The nominees are Jessica Chastain, Scenes from a Marriage, Lily James, Pam and Tommy, Sarah Paulson, Impeachment, American Crime Story, Michelle Pfeiffer, The First Lady, Margaret Qualley, Maid, Amanda Seyfried, The Dropout, and Renee Zellweger, The Thing About Pam. Megan, lead actor, please.
Lead actor in a limited anthology series. We have Colin Firth for The Staircase, Andrew Garfield for Under the Banner of Heaven, Oscar Isaac for Scenes from a Marriage, Michael Keaton from Dopesick, Hamish Linklater for Midnight Mass, and Sebastian Stan, my boyfriend, Pam and Tommy.
And Joey, give us the Outstanding Limited or Anthology Series.
Sure. We have Dopesick, Maid, Midnight Mass, Station 11, Under the Banner of Heaven, and The White Lotus.
And the White Lotus dominated the limited series category with 8 nominations. And it did tie another series with 8 nominations for the Cooler Awards, but we will get to what that other series was in a few minutes. I will take us into comedy series with Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series. And the nominees are Hannah Einbinder, Hacks, Janelle James, Abbott Elementary, Shirley Ralph, Abbott Elementary, Molly Shannon, The Other Two, Juno Temple, Ted Lasso, and Hannah Waddingham, Ted Lasso. Megan.
Sure. Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series. We have Anthony Carrigan for Barry, Paul W. Downs for Hacks, Brett Goldstein for Ted Lasso, Brandon Scott Jones for Ghosts, Nick Mohammed for Ted Lasso, Tony Shalhoub for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and Bowen Yang for Saturday Night Live.
Joey.
Outstanding Lead Actress in a Comedy Series. We have Rachel Brosnahan, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Quinta Brunson, Abbott Elementary, Kaylee Cuoco, The Flight Attendant, Elle Fanning, The Great, Selena Gomez, Only Murders in the Building, and Helena York, The Other Two.
Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy Series nominees are Utkarsh Ambudkar, Ghosts, I'm sorry, I mispronounced that, Bill Hader, Barry, Nicholas Holt, The Great, Steve Martin, Only Murders in the Building, Martin Short, Only Murders in the Building, and Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso. Megan.
Outstanding Comedy Series nominees are Abbott Elementary, Barry, Ghosts, The Great, Hacks, Only Murders in the Building, The Other Two, and Ted Lasso.
All right, and Joey, take us into the drama series with supporting actors.
Sure, Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama Series. Patricia Arquette, Severance. Christine Baranski, My Best Friend, The Gilded Age. Julia Garner, Ozark. Jung Ho Yoon, Squid Game. Christina Ricci, Yellowjackets. Sadie Sink, Stranger Things. J. Smith Cameron, Succession. Sarah Snook, Succession. And Sydney Sweeney, Euphoria.
Very close vote tallies there, thus the number of nominees. They were all very close. And what was funny is if you look at the graph, the distribution, it's like these, what are they, nine? Yes, these nine, and then steep cliff, and then the rest. Supporting actor in a drama series nominees are Nicholas Braun, Succession, Kieran Culkin, Succession, Joe Keery, Stranger Things, Matthew McFadyen, Succession, John Turturro, Severance, and Oh Young-soo, Squid Game. Megan?
Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama Series nominees are Carrie Coon for The Gilded Age, Tawny Cypress for Yellowjackets, Laura Linney for Ozark, Juliette Lewis for Yellowjackets, Melanie Linsky for Yellowjackets, Annie Murphy for Kevin Can Fuck Himself, and Zendaya for Euphoria.
Joey?
Outstanding Lead Actor in a Drama Series, Brian Cox, Succession, Tom Hiddleston for Loki, Lee Jung-jae, Squid Game, Bob Odenkirk, Better Call Saul, Adam Scott, Severance, and Jeremy Strong, Succession.
And your nominees for Outstanding Drama Series are Euphoria, The Gilded Age, Kevin Can Fuck Himself, Ozark, Severance, Squid Game, Succession, Yellowjackets.
Wow.
And those and are your 2022. No, not Yellowstone.
What did he say? Yellowstone.
And not Yellowstone.
These are really good nominations.
I think they're really good.
Yeah.
Any surprises?
I love seeing Kevin Can Fuck Himself.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I'm glad all the women for Yellowjackets all got
Yeah, me too. Tawny Cypress, that was really surprising. And, because I think she's the one who's been left out of the conversation the most, not because of her acting, but just because she's like
she's a tough
more
character.
Of a newcomer. Yeah, even though she's been around for a while. But I oh my God, I can't wait for season two because I'm like, she was a character I wasn't sure about. And then I became like completely obsessed by the end of it. I'm obsessed with her.
I'm excited for Ghost. Ghost is in there.
I'm excited for that too.
Love that show.
Yeah, and I was really happy that people seemed to branch out and embrace shows that that weren't necessarily embraced by Emmy. And I wonder, this is the first year where we've, no, I take that back. We closed the nominations before the Emmys were announced. I was glad to see the other two in there.
Yeah, that was good too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what we're going to do now is, starting on August 12th, to align with the phase two voting window for the Emmys with the Television Academy, we're going to make the final poll available to all of our readers at Awards Daily. And, you can go in and vote for the winners of the Cooler Awards, and those will be announced the weekend of the Emmys. I guess the Emmys are on a Monday night this year, September 12th, but, we will announce them the weekend, leading up to the Emmys. Excellent. So let's move off to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating the upcoming week. And I'm going to go first because I seldom do.
And I think what you are going to be most excited about is what we're all excited about.
Well, I'll start with the film I'm most anticipating, which is Nope.
Yes.
And I'm actually, I did a funny thing today. I decided that I'm going to rearrange a bunch of meetings so that I can leave work at 3:30 on Thursday so I can go to a 4 o'clock screening so that I don't have shit spoiled for me by Twitter, because it will happen.
Yeah, we're going, Thursday is our date anniversary. And so we're going to have dinner, and then we're going to be like, we're going to go see Nope.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Television-wise, I am going to finish up the episodes that we have of Luke. I think it's the whole season, Joey. Correct me if I'm wrong. But okay, so we've got the whole season. I'm going to finish up that. And then I'm going to catch up with two Emmy-nominated shows. One is Dopesick, which is contending, which is giving White Lotus some strong competition for its Emmy chances. So I need to catch up. Excuse me, with that. And then I'll also catch up with Better Call Saul, which I think is wrapping its season. I'm kind of losing track as to what episode it's on, because it's just started its second season, or the back half of its final season. But I want to watch that. And then I am in book world. I am continuing to plow through White Noise, which is the Don DeLillo novel, which is being translated into a film by Noah Baumbach.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a very dense novel, and I'm pretty confident that Noah Baumbach is going to completely ruin it. But it stars Greta Gerwig and Adam Driver.
Wait, it doesn't, does it?
It does.
No.
Great.
She is perfectly cast. He is woefully miscast as a college professor who studies Hitler.
It does
not work. And Don Cheadle plays a character. Don Cheadle is also in it. Megan, what are you looking forward to this week?
So I can't help it, but I'm kind of interested in The Gray Man just for the eye candy. I don't know, it's coming to Netflix this week, and I think it might be in theaters too. I also really want to see Nope. I need to finish The Bear. I've been watching my Flavor of Love journey, and for some reason Hulu doesn't have season 3 on there. So I paused, and I am now watching Rock of Love, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm laughing at, like, Bret Michaels' one-liners are so funny because he's horny constantly, like, and he'll always be talking to a woman and be like, you know, we didn't really connect, but then she had the tiniest ass I've ever seen. And I thought, would he be canceled today? Like, how would we react to Rock of Love watching this today? And also, I know Flavor of Love would have been canceled for the way he treated New York in that final episode. Which, justice for all of these women, I love all of them. So I'm doing that. And then, I guess that's about it this week. I think, yeah, trying to just, and I'm also really excited to watch, RuPaul's Drag Race, of course, and Only Murders in the Building. I've been watching it 1 week at a time just because I've been enjoying it that way.
Yeah.
Joey?
I'm hoping that I'll get through the rest of The Staircase because I have 2 episodes left and I want to die.
I love that. I don't understand. I think it's great.
I think it's, after we see him in prison for a while, And when he starts to ramp up towards him getting out, I think it falls like a lead balloon. And I think it's so, like, I cannot get through the episode 7. Like, I keep falling asleep. And for a show about someone getting pushed down the stairs, I should not be falling asleep. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe, there's a new Winona Ryder movie coming out this week.
Yes.
Dawn in the Night, which I think it looks really cool.
I do,
and
too.
I'm really determined. I think it's really sad now that movies go to streaming so quickly. It really bothers me. Like this, the Art House Theater, which is like right down the street from me, now they don't do shows on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. And it really bothers me because I would like to go see a movie during the week and I can't do it. I can go to somewhere else. But anyway, so I want to see that. And then I want to see Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. And I want to see Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. Looks so cute. And then I have screeners for 5 Days at Memorial, which is like a limited series starring Vera Farmiga about a hospital who there was like mysterious deaths after Hurricane Katrina, which part of me wondered if that was like the version of American Crime Story that Ryan Murphy scrapped.
It is.
Is it? Okay.
It's the same story. Yes.
Is it? Okay. Because I think it looks so interesting and I can't wait to start watching it. I know it's going to be like, you know, it looks horribly.
What is this called again?
It's called 5 Days at Memorial. It stars Vera Farmiga, Cherry Jones, Adepero, I can never remember how to pronounce her last name, Odui. She was in like, she was in Pariah. She was in like the Queen Latifah, Steel Magnolias. I don't know. I'll send you the trailer. It looks really, really good and really, really intense. So I'm glad, Clarence, you cleared that up for me. I could have just Google searched it, but I didn't. So I'm glad you're here.
It looks really good. I posted the trailer at awardsdaily.com, a couple of days ago, and
yeah.
The CG looks a little like they show Katrina ravaging New Orleans, and the CG looks a little hokey, but maybe that was just the trailer. But the performances look very intense and very strong, and it sounds like a really compelling story. I did a little bit of research on it, so I kind of know what's the truth behind it. But I'm anxious to see that too. It comes out on August 19th, I think.
Yeah, so I think it looks good. And yeah, that's all.
Excellent. So does that cover it?
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3 M's, contributors Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.